Hello there. Welcome to Healthy Cooking with your friendly Italians. I'm Jim Burrow.
And I'm Marilyn Burrow.
And we have the pleasure of having Matt Jones with us today, who is owner of the 11 Lake Winery over in Canoga, and we're going to be talking vino. And it can't get any better than that.
No.
And, you know, the two things that go together are wine and food. It's a normal thing. Welcome, Matt.
Welcome. Thanks for having me.
And so we're going to talk to him about his wonderful wines. We've got some recipes we're going to be giving you that is going to be encompassing wines.
Wine is in the recipe. Yeah.
And so let's get started. Let's talk about 11 Lakes Winery in Canoga, producing around 1,200 bottles of wine a year.
Cases a year.
And so let's talk about this is your 6th year.
Yeah, coming up on 6 years.
All right.
September
congratulations.
1st.
Congratulations.
So you're going to have, and celebrating your 6th year. Well, that'll
and
be great.
You have 5 whites and three reds?
Correct.
And how have you got any feedback of how the upcoming season is as far as the growth of grapes are concerned, or is it too early to tell?
Well, the winter was a little rough on them. They were talking about having to lead a little extra nodes on the grapes, and but so far this weather's starting to go in the right direction, so it's a little early, but it could be a good year.
And I know you enjoy this business, and it is a labor of love that it's great that you're a part of this thing. And you have a tasting room in at your place, right?
Yep.
And let's get right into the wines that you are producing, and tell us about those wines, okay?
We do things a little differently. We educate you about the Finger Lakes through the wine. That's why we're called 11 Lakes. So we try to give you a little fun history and facts and kind of share a little bit of the region with you through our wine. For example, like we have our semi-dry Gewurztraminer. This one is dedicated to Canisius Lake, and Canisius means always beautiful. And then you have the lake highlighted on the back. You have the facts about the lake, and then also facts about the wine.
Now,
that's nice.
A lot of people are not that familiar with Gewurztraminer. Would you call it a semi-sweet, spicy wine? Is that a correct?
Well, in general speaking, I would say that you're 100% correct, but I mean, it can be just like any wine. It can be done dry, too sweet. It usually is made sweet. A lot of that is consumer demand. I mean, people generally like to drink their sweet wine. This is a semi-dry, so it has a hint of sweetness to it.
What is your residual sugar in this?
On this vintage, it's 2.4.
Okay. All right.
So it has a touch of the sweetness. This one's also a mellower Gewurztraminer. We kind of mellowed it out. It doesn't have that real sharp in your face like some Gewurz have.
Great with cheeses,
I would think. The one thing the Gewurztraminer is known for is being very versatile. It's can pair up to almost anything, known for going with a Thanksgiving dinner, spicy dishes, or cheeses.
Right. Well, a few years ago, I was working up at Knapp's, and they brought in some people from Germany. And they said, this area, the climate, the soil, the conditions blend so well with Gewurztraminers and Rieslings. And,
yes, those were the best grapes.
It surely shows in the number of awards and the number of gold medals. I think that they're the best in the world, comparable.
Yes, and then, of course, all that the Cornell Extension and the Geneva Experimental Station has done about changing the varietals or helping to make sure that they're available or are good for this area. I mean, I think they've continually helped the grape industry, haven't they?
To
continue to get better.
And the wine industry has come such a long way to the days when we had Great Western and your champagnes, and that was about it that was available out of Naples. and where it's come today. And you go down the road and on 89 or any of these roads and on the weekends, and it's packed with people coming.
Limousines coming through Seneca Falls. Huge, huge limousines. You must get them to stop.
Oh, yeah. You get some crazy groups sometime. It's a good time.
It is. It's wonderful. I mean, you're right. And every year there seems to be more on each of the lakes. If you drive on the lakes, there's more and more wineries.
For sure.
Let's talk about your Riesling. Right. Great wine, and is a very versatile wine. This would be a semi-dry wine?
We have two. We have a dry Riesling and a semi-dry Riesling. Currently both sold out, about to get them back in a month or so, but we'll have new vintages in very shortly. The dry Riesling last vintage was a little more green apple tart. This one will probably be back to a little more lemony citrus, and then mm-hmm. the semi-dry is a little more mellow, a little more cantaloupe-ish, and it's
okay.
Both are excellent.
Now you also do a blend, a red blend.
Well, because of our short growing season, we also try to stay true to the area at 11 Lakes, so you won't see stuff that doesn't necessarily grow in the Finger Lakes. All our whites are 100% whatever they are, mm-hmm. and then all our reds are always going to be blended because of our short growing season. So even our Cab Franc Reserve is 80% Cab Franc, 10% Merlot.
That is a great grape, Cab Franc.
Yeah, and we're really latching onto it. It's kind of like the Bordeaux blend in that one for us, because we also have the Sauvignon in it, but it's the hardiest of the three, so it grows the best of those three grapes.
And reds. We've heard the word you use, vinifera.
Mm-hmm.
Can you talk a little bit about that, what that is?
That means any grape that originated in Europe. So it's...
Okay.
And then Lambrusca, which I butchered that word occasionally, sorry.
You said it perfectly.
is the native variety, and then there's hybrids.
Yeah.
One interesting thing, we might as well throw it out there since we're cooking with Italians, is the Gewurztraminer red actually gets its origins in the northern part of Italy, the Traminat part of it, or the Gewurztraminer. Gewurz means spice, Traminer is the parent grape, and that gets its origins in the northern part of Italy that was once German-speaking.
Yes, German. It was.
Yeah, in northern Italy, it's more, right. Mm-hmm. When I go out to California, and you know, the Californians, they got their nose up in the air because of the wines that they make up there, and I tell them, if it wasn't for upstate New York, you wouldn't have a wine there. So what are you talking about? So when you had the blight, you need to get a hardier type of thing that would not get infested with the blight. And where did you come to? Upstate New York.
They grafted the vines from here. Yeah. So.
Yes.
All right. Let's talk about the blended wine. As far as, would you call that a light sort of fruity wine?
Well, the second one, the Canoe Landing, the one dedicated to Cuca. Yeah. Yep, that one's Ribbiano, Chancellor, Deschanic. That is 1 month in oak. This is one of my favorite lakes to talk about, Cuca, because of all the history on the lake with Glenn Curtis.
Yes.
And the shape of the lake is very interesting as
well. It is.
But this one is what I would call kind of a next generation red. It's bottle fermented. It's 1 month in oak. It's 1% sugar, but still on the dry side of things. But again, it's more about the fruit, kind of like you were saying. It's more about the flavors of the fruit than it is about the oak. And also has a mouth feel or spice because of the bottle fermentation.
Mm-hmm.
So it first goes into a bottle to you ferment it in the oak first?
It goes through a stainless steel process, a month of oak, and then it goes into the bottle,
and then it's fermented in the bottle too.
Yes.
And you also have a wonderful name on this wine, Maragolius?
Oh, Moon Glorious.
Moon Glorious.
Sweeter. Now, that's the sweeter red blend. That is our bestseller. The Moon Glorious is a fun one. That's the only one that's not dedicated to a Finger Lake. It's sweeter wine. It has a little Pinot Noir in it, a little Chancellor and Deschanic as well. Meant to be served chilled because it's over 3% sugar, 5% sugar for that wine. But the Pinot Noir kind of mellows it out, gives it a wine flavor. One of my customers the other day was saying it'd be great for brisket. I thoroughly agree. It is brisket season.
Sure. Right. So. I've been experimenting with taking some of the fruity not overly zealous types of red, and chilling them. And I was somewhat of a wine snob. Who in the hell would chill a red wine? Jim Barrow would, and it's good. Mm-hmm. And I'm surprised.
Yeah.
And more so in the fruitier types of wines. I've tried it with some Merlots and that type of thing. It's good.
Yeah, it's definitely rosé season for sure.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Jim really likes rosé.
Yeah. I enjoy a dry rosé.
Particularly in the summer.
Yeah.
And we do generally drink our reds a little warm. They're supposed to be like 56-ish, so I mean, slightly chilled. You don't want them at 70 or 80. It's a little warm.
What wines the Vignole, have we talked about?
Yeah, that's a fun one. That's the best-selling white. Again, it's a little sweeter. It's dedicated to Wasco Lake, 100% okay. Vignoles. That one's a little cloy, has some tropical flavors like pineapple, real citrusy. It's almost shocking that it's a wine. You almost think it would be a fruit wine because of the tropical flavors of the Vignoles. Yeah.
Do you ever see yourself going to ice wines?
I do like ice wines. I'm intrigued by them. I think late harvest is a nice solution to the ice wines. You get the flavor without the labor-intensive stuff. It's a possibility. Champagne is also something that we might like in a small batches.
We were up in Canada, up in the wine region of Canada, in Ontario County, and they do a lot of ice wines. And I was shocked at the price tag on these ice wines, over $100 a bottle.
And it's a really big risk for the grape grower, too. Grower is... I mean, if he doesn't get a harvest, he's kind of out that whole season. So it's
a small window to do what he needs to do, right?
Yeah, and if the weather doesn't cooperate, Mother Nature can be rough on you.
Well, it sounds really exciting what you're doing, and you're open every single day of the week.
Correct.
You're open from 12 to 6:30 on Sunday, and from 10 to 6:30 Monday through Saturday.
Correct, yep.
So you spend a lot of time at the winery.
I do. Yeah, you'll probably see me if you go there. There's a good chance.
Okay. Is there anything else we need to talk about your wonderful wines?
I don't know. We could pair them up with some food if you want.
Why don't we do that? Let's do that. I've got some recipes.
They're
available online that we can take. There's nothing better in a marriage than wine and food. I mean, they just absolutely go together. So let's talk about some of the things. And I want you to make a suggestion of the type of wine we should do in the cooking of this dish.
All of the recipes this week will have wine in them.
Awesome.
You have your choices of what you would like to put in them.
First one, being Italian, I gotta talk about Savoy cabbage, right? And a braising of a Savoy cabbage in nutmeg, of all things. Quite a bit of nutmeg in it, and a white wine. And it's a stewish type of thing. And what do you think of what type of white wine we should cook with?
Savoy cabbage has more flavor. It's a little more intense flavor than regular cabbage. It would be more on the sort of bitter green that Italians love.
Nice. I think maybe the dry Riesling would be a good complement to that with its citrus.
Good.
Mm-hmm.
And let's compare your dry Riesling to your Kugel White. Kugel White is quite a bit sweeter than the dry Riesling, right?
Yeah, and it would be a good compromise for the person that wants something a little sweeter. Maybe the Kugel White is a little more apricot-ish, a little more. It's 3% sugar, where the dry Riesling is 0.27. Less about the tart flavors, a little more mellow.
Right.
And I think we should emphasize that you do, if you're going to cook with wine, cook with a good wine. You're going to ruin your recipe if you decide to cook with, you know, for a while there they used to have wine they called cooking wine. It would ruin any recipe that you put it in. So just make sure that if you're going to do this, please use a good wine when you put them in a recipe.
You're not
going
to drink it.
And if you don't drink your whole bottle when you have your good wine, save it and use it for your cooking. So
so what we're going to do is we're going to mix some butter or butter and oil. I like to use both. Saute the Savoy cabbage that you cored out and shredded up, and add 1/2 a cup of dry white wine and let that reduce a bit, add some brown sugar and nutmeg to it, and it's done.
Right.
And if you got this time, if you grilled some pork chops, put a bed of this down, and then put the pork chop on top of it. Really a nice dish.
And Savoy cabbage also has more of a body to it. It doesn't disintegrate as much as regular cabbage.
All right, the next thing we're going to I would like to throw at you as a recipe is a chicken with olives, lemons, rosemary, and wine. There's a reason why I like the complement of thighs, because thighs hold their moisture a little bit better, and the use of slices of lemon in this thing. So let's talk about that and what white wine we should use in this type of recipe.
I think the Gewürztraminer makes a lot of sense. It's a very versatile wine, like we were saying before, but also with the rosemary, I think, and the lemon, I think the Gewürztraminer would complement that dish really well, and I also think it would complement it when you're eating it as well.
Sounds good.
You put it in the recipe, and then you drink it. There you go.
Well, you do both. How can you cook without drinking the wine?
Right.
It doesn't work. If you don't, isn't that right, Jim? I use the chicken thighs because of the moisture.
Well, I think they do remain moist. I think cooking with chicken breasts is difficult because they dry out so easily. I think you're safer. And I think the thighs have a little bit more flavor than the chicken breast does.
And these days
you can get them you can go to any store now and just buy chicken thighs.
And to add a little bit more flavor to it, I've got some chopped pancetta in it. Now, if you all don't know what pancetta is, it's basically uncured, it's Italian bacon, but it doesn't have the smokiness of a bacon. If you want to use bacon instead of pancetta, it's fine. But we enjoy that. Have you had pancetta?
I've had it a few times, I'm sure. It's good. I love prosciutto, too. But.
Prosciutto is wonderful, too.
Yeah. So we're going to crisp up some pancetta. We're going to add the chicken thighs to it. And we're going to put the chicken thighs skin side down. And don't touch them. Don't move them. and what will happen, it will caramelize, and then they will come off nice and easy. And you can just shake the pan, and when they move and they move around, you know that it is caramelized, and now you can turn them off. If you do it ahead of time, before that, you're going to rip off the skin on them. And we're going to put some chopped green olives in there and some salt and pepper. And then we're going to add that wine, and we're going to stir that around, let it evaporate, and a little salt and pepper and some rosemary and some lemon slices, and let that simmer down for about a half an hour. And I'm telling you, it's wonderful. Serve that maybe something very, very simple, like some steamed rice would be nice on this type of dish. You can do anything you want, but that's a really nice dish. Our third dish, and I did this because strawberry season is a local strawberry season upon us.
We'll be coming up very soon, yes.
I want to take some strawberries, I want to slice them, and I want to mix some red wine with them, let them macerate. I said that right.
Yes.
And we're also going to put in there some cassis. Cassis is black currant liqueur, and we're going to combine those things and let that all work together. And let's talk about a red wine that we can put in with those strawberries.
Well, this one's perfect for the Moon Glorious. The Moon Glorious, I even did it before with the strawberries. It's fantastic. It's a little bit sweeter. Definitely complements the fruitiness and deliciousness of the strawberries.
Yeah, and this is not you're not cooking this. You're going to mix the strawberries, the liqueur, the cream de cassis, the red wine, and let's take some fresh mint and shrivel it up. Chiffonade is what we call it. Put that on there, and put it and let it set for about an hour. Put it in a nice wine goblet. Put a dollop of sour cream or plain yogurt over the top, and that's it. An elegant, elegant dish for dessert, for your company or for yourself. How's that sound?
Very good.
Yeah.
When are we having it?
That's right. That's what everybody asks.
Well, that sort of leads me into, I want to talk a few moments about strawberries. Strawberry season is going to be starting.
When does it usually start?
Middle of the month.
Or it's got to be close, right?
Close. Yeah. I would think the beginning of June. Of course, a lot depends on how warm it is or what the growing season is like.
And some interesting things that you should know about strawberries. Strawberries are the only fruit where the seeds are on the outside of the plant. And it is a member of the rose family, of all things.
I didn't know that.
And here in the United States, the average amount of strawberries we eat per person is about 3.5 pounds. Marilyn and I do that on our own each.
Well, we do love strawberries, but it's such a short season here.
Short season.
And there's no question that the strawberries here, I feel, are much more flavorful than anything that comes from California or North Carolina or anything that is imported. So if you can
fresh
get
and local.
Fresh and local, yeah, particularly in strawberries, is a huge difference in the flavor.
And the Romans, that's the Italians.
Yeah,
Romans,
Italians, yes.
Okay.
Okay.
And whatever they say is right and true, right?
Uh-huh.
Remember that.
Sure.
They think that strawberries were medicinal.
Uh-huh.
They're low in calories, high in vitamins, C, B, 6, K, fiber, all kinds of wonderful things. And you're starting on the lookout because by the middle of the month, you're going to either be able to buy them or pick them.
Right, and there's a lot of fields around here that they will let you go pick.
Right, and we have all the farmers' markets coming out. They will
have
strawberries.
Them.
Red Jacket in Geneva will have them. If you go on to the Ontario Cornell Extension Service, they have a listing of all of the various places that will be selling.
Well, I'm sure if you looked it up on the Internet, they would show
you
where you can.
Do.
And again, the combination with a good wine or a sweet wine really does help.
That's a nice summer treat. Yeah.
Any way you want to serve it. You don't have to have just strawberry shortcake, right?
Yeah, strawberry
right.
pie.
Right.
That's strawberry
right.
rhubarb pie.
Right.
Strawberry rhubarb pie.
Right.
And also, because it's such a short season, if you want to extend the eating of strawberries, the Ontario Cornell Extension Service is offering a class on preserving or canning or freezing strawberries.
Or making a preserve of some sort.
And that's a class that's going to be held on June the 11th. If you call over there at 585-394-3977, extension 427, you can call the day before this is going on and make your reservation. Okay? So you might want to try that. Well, this has been a lot of fun.
Yes.
Appreciated Mark. You coming.
Matt, do you have anything more that you'd like to tell us about your wine that we didn't cover?
Well, I look forward to pouring some wine tastings for some folks, and I appreciate you having me on the show. It's fantastic, and
right.
I look forward to trying some of these recipes. They sound really fun.
All right, okay.
Well, we're trying to promote as many of the local kinds of places.
If you want to go on up to the winery. And taste some of these wines.
Oh, and I forgot to mention that Matt's been very kind of letting the artworks put some of their paintings up there.
Yep.
And so some of the paintings that we have in downtown Seneca Falls are some of the artists that show artworks on
Abby Glazer helped facilitate
that. Yes, Abby Gaisley does.
Yeah, Abby Gaisley loves you.
She does.
I love her too.
I'm telling you. But we're very happy to have those paintings in your winery too.
Right.
Sure display.
So here we have a really local winery that produces some great wines, go on up and taste them and go up and buy some. I'm thoroughly will enjoy it. Next time when we get together, we've got Parker's Restauranters coming on, and their chef Jay and the manager Carol will be on in a couple weeks. And don't forget the fact that the farmers markets are coming.
Is that the first week in June that they're going to start? I think it is.
Yeah. And but also, I was a judge at the Memorial Day.
Waterloo, at the Cornell Extension tent. Was a judge, yes.
And I'm going to get some of the winners, recipes of the winners of that show. I'm going to have those available for us the next time around. So we're glad you came.
We were very happy to have you, Matt.
Yes, thank you very
wonderful.
Much.
It was wonderful. It's our pleasure to support our local wineries and some of the good businesses that are in the area.
Thank you.
And you have a good time. I hope you enjoyed your Memorial Day, and the weather is warm. There's no spring. It's just winter and summer, and we're here. Enjoy. Thank you. Ciao.
Ciao. Bye.